Well, in the last lecture, we managed to describe what a category was, and so it had objects and maps, and we described certain important objects, like the terminal objects, initial objects, and certain important maps. Now, what we're going to do is to see if it is possible to relate categories between one another. But we've seen that there are lots of examples of categories in physics, and those are useful in themselves, but they wouldn't be that useful if they were isolated, so if different categories couldn't talk to each other. But it turns out that categories can talk to each other, metaphorically speaking. And this you do by defining maps between categories, and these maps are called functors. Right, so these are maps. Now, there are two types of functors. One is the covariant, and one is called contravariant. Now, the differences between these two is how they map relations. So a functor is a map between two categories. Right? So a category is objects and relations. So a functor has to map objects to objects and relations to relations. Now, a covariant functor maps the relation such that the domain, so that the ordering of the relation is preserved. The contravariant functor flips the ordering round. So let's define it properly. So imagine you have two categories. A covariant functor is a map between these two categories such that, so it takes an object here and it maps it to an object here. So for all M2, since these categories have internal structure, this functor has to somehow mimic the internal structure from this category to an internal structure in that. So if you have a map from two objects in C, the effect of the covariant functor is to define a map in D which goes, from the image of the domain to this, of this map, to the image of the codomain of that map. So for a covariant functor, the ordering of the relation is preserved. Now this mapping has to undergo certain properties, and these properties are the following: that it has to map the identity of each element to the identity of the image of that element. Gonna go here. Actually, I'll move it up. And the second property is that it has to map, say, a composition of arrows. It has to map it to the composition of the mapping of the individual ones. So it has to preserve composition. So for example, if you have, this is some elements in your category C. What the F functor does, it maps each object to an object in D. And it maps each arrows to the image such that the directions are the same. And then you can deduce this from. Okay, that's the definition. What are some examples? The first one is a very trivial one. So examples. So the first one, I think I do the identity functor. Which just maps a category to itself, really. So each object, it goes to the same object, and each map goes to the same map. This is very trivial, and obviously it satisfies this, right? There's no need. Okay, a little bit more complicated example is the power set functor. Covariant. Huh? So what this functor is a functor from sets to sets, such that for each set it assigns the power set of that set. Now the power set is basically the set of all subsets. Okay, now you have to show that this is a functor. All right, I forgot to define it. So, in each, so this on the object, then if you have a map in sets, this defines a map which goes, since it's covariant, it picks the image of the domain and the image of the codomain. And how do you define this? So for each subset, the action of this map is basically given by this map here. Obviously, this is a subset of X, and this is a subset of Y. Okay, now, is this a well-defined covariant functor? So you need to check that this is equivalent to this. And then you need to check that the composition is preserved. Check it. So, first of all, we do this. So, x is just from, identity of x is just from x to x. So, this is a map from the power set of x to the power set of x. And for each u, it gives, okay, by definition, it would be identity x of u. On the other hand, this guy, this is quite trivial, but anyway, is from the power set of x to the power set of x, u to u. So this first condition is satisfied. What about the second? So we first show this. I have to write what f and g is. So f is from x to y. G comes first, so it's from z to x. So this is from the power set of the domain of this arrow, which is power of z, to the power set of the codomain of this arrow, which is y. So for each subset of Z, from the definition, you get this. Okay. Now this guy here So this is PF. So first of all, P of G is from the power set of the domain of G, which is Z, to the power set of the codomain of G. Then you compose it with this, and you go to the power set of the codomain of F. So you get U. Then by the definition, this is G of U. Then you apply the definition again, and you F G of U. And it's two are the same. So it's a well-defined covariant functor.
The second last line on the right, they should go from the power set of X to the power set of 1.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Yeah, it's a P. This what you meant, right? Sorry. Almost like a P. Okay. Now, the other more involved example is the Homme, is that one? Yeah, Homme functor. So how do you define the Homme functor? Okay, so for a covariant, huh? Given an object A of a category, then you can define, this defines a Homme functor. I just write it like this. From that category to sets. So this means that you put an element here, right? So that for each element, you get a set of maps from that element from A to B. This on objects. Then given an arrow, let me write it. From B to D. Then you get a corresponding map. Which, because it's a covariant functor, it goes from the image of the domain to the image of the codomain. Okay, that's the definition. Now you have to check again that is a well-defined. Oh, I didn't define it actually. So this is defined for each function. You define it by composition. So this is a map from A to B. You want a map from A to D. So you have first F and then H, right? So H is A to B, B to D. Yeah. Now you have to check that this is a well-defined covariant functor. So the first thing you need to check that the identity, the image of the identity map for some element is the same as the identity of the image of that element. So first we check this. So what is this guy? Well, you apply the definition. And this is a map from the image. So B, the identity B is just B from B, right? So this is the image of the domain of this map, which is simply B, to the image of the codomain of the identity map, which is also this. So map H, you simply, by definition, is identity B is just H. What about the right side? This guy. This is simple. This is simply this. So it's from C. It's the identity of this element. So that if you pick H, it just gives you H. So these two are the same. Now the second condition. So if we have a composition. So let's say we have F A to D, and then G is from, no, sorry, F is from B to D, from C to B. So now we want to check that the image of the composition of those two right, so you go from C to B, D, yes. So the image of the composition of these two has to be equal to the composition of the images . So you need to check this. Okay, first we do this guy. What is that? So this is a map. So I'll just, otherwise I'm just gonna get totally confused. It's from C. No, it's from B. No, it's from C to D. So this is the image. So it's the map from the image of the domain to the image of the codomain. So map here, you apply the definition over there, and you get now you go the other way. I'm gonna write it here. So now you have to check what this thing is. So it's from C of A of F composed with this. So what you do, you first go from the image of the domain of this guy to the image of the codomain of that guy. Then you compose it to the image of the codomain of that guy there. So here you have H, right? Then you compose it, you apply the definition, and you get G of H. Then you apply the definition again, and you get F of G of H. Now, since you know that the maps undergo the associativity property, then you have that these two guys are the same. And so it's a well-defined functor, covariant functor. Okay, now in the notes, I also write an example of a poset. And that is important because we will use posets. Well, posets are a special case of preordered sets. So we'll use posets eventually when we start talking about quantum theory. So it's worth just saying the effect of a covariant functor on a poset. So given two posets, then a covariant functor between them is such that, okay, for each object, it maps an object here. And for each relation, it maps to the corresponding relation down here. So the important thing is that the covariant functor is an order-preserving relation in terms of posits. Well, that's kind of obvious. Okay, so now what about the contravariant? So we've seen the covariant. What about contravariant functors? Okay, so definition given two categories, a contravariant functor is a map between these two categories such that for all elements, then the effect of this map is to obtain an element in your domain category. But now here's the difference. If you have a map between two elements in C, what a contravariant functor does, it reverses the relation. So it maps this relation to a relation. So it's like a mirror image kind of thing. So it is in a relation that goes from the codomain to the domain. So in a covariant functors, the relations were mimicked in exactly the same way here, as if you created a mirror image. Everything goes the other way around. Now the conditions that have to be satisfied are, the first one is exactly the same because domain and codomain coincide. So this is the same as before for any identity. Now the second instead is different. So the second is as follows. If you have a composition, now because here you twist everything the other way around, this has to be equal to the composition of the images, but now going the other way. So if you draw a picture, I'll draw it. You have this. So it's, well, I don't remember how I named it before, but hopefully it's the same. So now what this guy does, it picks the images of the elements, just as the other one did. But now everything goes the other way around. And hence this. Okay, so now let's try and dualize some of the examples. I wanted to keep, well, I'll do it here. So what's the dual of that? Well, not dual, but the, that's not appropriate word. What's the contravariant version of this one here? Well, the identity, obviously, got this one here. So, dual power set. So this is again a map from sets to sets, such that for each object you get exactly the same as that guy there. So it's still the power set. However, if you have a map, now, because of the contravariant nature, you switch around. So This is a map from the image of the codomain to the image of the domain. So that for each subset, this map here is basically defined as the inverse. And again, you check the same things. So you have to check that this is the same. This is exactly the same as that, yeah? The only difference is now this guy here. So the composition, let's try and use the same maps, is now this. So you do it, and you see if you actually do get the same thing. So first do this guy. So it's from the image of the codomain. Where was it? Oh, did I delete that? Okay, so F G forms first. So the image of the codomain, to the image of the domain. Oh, what's that? So that here, then you apply the definition, you define terms of the inverse. So this is, okay. So what is this guy? So from the image of the codomain of this, to the image of the domain, to the image of the domain of G. Yes. So here then you apply the definition is in terms of the inverse. And you apply the definition again and you get G minus 1, F minus 1 of U. And obviously if you decompose this, these two are the same. So this works. Now what's the contravariant of this guy? Is it clear so far? I mean, I think examples are better. I mean, the more examples I do, the easier it is to understand. Right, so what's the contravariant Hom functor? So again, given an object in a category, then you can define the contravariant Hom functor, which now goes the other way around, as you might have guessed. So it's from the category again to sets. And what this does is to each object, it now assigns the set of maps from the object to A. And given a map, then you obtain this map here, which goes from the image of the codomain to the image of the domain, so that you have a map here, then again it's defined in terms of composition. So C CTA. So it's HRF, is that right? B to CC, yeah, is that it? That is reversed of that one, really. Yeah. Okay, again, you check that the image of the identity of some B is the same as the identity of the image. So this guy is so the image of the domain and codomain are the same. And then this is easier. So it's just and without that do it, I mean, that's trivially the same. What about the other condition? So now I have to show that if you have a composition, did I delete it here? Oh, no, I didn't. So if you have this composition, then in this case, you require the following. This has to be equal to C of G of A composes C of F of A. Right. So you do it. What is this? This is a map from the image of the codomain D to the image of the domain. So you get a map, and from the definition, you compose it. Okay. What about this guy here? So first, this is from the image of the codomain of F, which is D, to the image of the domain of F, which is B. Then you compose it to the image of the codomain of G. So first is H, then you apply the definition, and you get H of F. You apply the definition again, and you get H of F of G. By associativity, these two are the same. And you proved it. I think I give other examples, but those you read on your own. So, I mean, the important thing is that a covariant functor maps the category to another one such that the relations are preserved, the direction. A contravariant gives a mirror image, kind of thing. Okay, now we're going to go a level higher in abstraction. So we have defined what a category is. It has objects, as relations. Now it is possible to define maps between categories. Now you can actually go a level higher, and now you can define maps between functors. And that is because eventually, if you have two categories, the collection of all functors between these two categories is itself a category. So it will have as I will explain it later, but it will have as objects functors and as maps this natural transformations, which are maps between functors. I mean, that's a nice thing of category theory. You can keep on abstracting. I mean, they also have the two categories, and you can go on for quite a while. Okay, so where am I? Natural transformations. Okay, so what's a natural transformation? So imagine you have two functors. I call them x and y. Then a natural transformation is a map between these two functors. Right. Now, in order for this map to make sense, it somehow has to respect what this functor does and what this functor does. So what this means is that for each object in your category, now this functor will produce an image of it, but the same will this functor do. So what a natural transformation does is compares the image that these two functors do give to the same element. So you get, for each element, you get a natural component, a component of your natural transformation, sorry, which compares the image given to that element from this functor to the image given to the same element, but to this functor, from this functor. And this is okay. However, functors also act on arrows. So this natural transformation has to also compare the image that this functor gives to arrows to the image that this functor gives the same arrows. So imagine you have a map or an arrow from for these two objects in C. Now, first of all, you ask, what does the component for this object look like? So you get the image of your functor of that object given by the x functor, and you compare it to this image. However, now you also compare the images that the functors give to the maps themselves. So this has to be compared to what the y functor does when applied to F. And in order for this comparison to make sense, this guy has to commute. So you require that this N is the same as So if you first consider the image of the x functor that the x functor gives, and you compare it to y, and then you apply this map, you have to get the same result. So the images have to be related in some way. So that's the concept of a natural transformation. So it's kind of two levels, simply because functors are defined in two levels. So it compares the action on objects and the actions on maps. Okay, now examples. The first one should be kind of familiar, I suppose. Okay, so now consider the dual functor. So in order to construct that, you first start with the dual. So the dual is a functor from your category of vector spaces, to the dual. So to each vector space associates the dual, and to each map it associates, this is a contravariant. Actually, there's no brackets, sorry, I don't know why I put the brackets. Right, so that each map gets mapped by composition, which one comes first? Right, f of v to 1, yes. You repeat the process, and you do the double dual. So each vector, you get the double dual. Oh, do you get, you know what a dual, right, is? Well, the double dual just gives back itself. Yeah, and then maps. So for a given map, then the double dual map is just that. Now, given this functor, you can define a natural transformation between that and the identity functor, which is identity functor, simple, just the identity. And the maps are just identity maps. So how is this defined? So you have a natural transformation from this functor to this guy, such that for each vector space, you have the following. Right, this is N of V. So that this thing commutes. So you have that this is F double star. Now you check if this thing commutes, right? So it's fine. Different. Okay, now a little bit more complicated example is the following. No, actually, I'm going to keep this one. I'm going to go here. You can actually define a natural transformation between covariant home functors. So how do you do this? So example two. Okay, this is a bit more complicated. So if, okay, given a map, this map gives rise to a natural transformation between the following covariant functors. So I know that this goes the other way around, but these guys are covariant functors. the map has to go this way, because otherwise you won't have a well-defined natural transformation. So how is this map defined? So for all objects, then the component of this natural transformation is as follows. So given a map here, you define it by composition. So H is from B to C. So it's HOF, A to B, B to C. Yeah. Now this is on objects. Now in order to be a well-defined natural transformation, we need to find an analog of a commuting diagram. Right? So let's say we have a map G, which is from C to D. Now let's first see what happens to this object D. So for this object D, we get the component of this natural transformation as follows. Which again, given a map K, I haven't used to. From the definition, you compose it. Now, in order for this to make sense, you need this diagram to commute. So you need the eraser. So you have the first component, and you have the second component. And you require this thing to commute. So this is C, F of C, this is C, F of D. Now, this map here is an internal map in this category here. Right. So this map here is the image of this map given by that functor there. And it's a little abstract, but if you go through it, and so this thing here is A of G. Okay. But with G instead of F. Now this guy here, instead, is the image of the G map given by this functor here. And now you require that this guy commutes. So you have to check it. In order for the natural transformation to be well defined, right? This thing has to commute. So you do it. So you have that C, A, G composed with C, F of C. Has to be the same as the other one. First, I do this guy. Well, you know where it comes from. So let's call this BC, BC, H. So this acts on H. So first, the effect of this. Now, the effect of this we saw is that. So it's H of. The effect of this is here. Well, no, now it's there. No, sorry. That's G. So from the definition you compose it, so you get g of h of f. Now you go the other way. So you have c of f d, you compose it with c of b of g. You still act on h. So this first. The effect of this is this. No. Oh, no, no, sorry. The effect of this is, oh, sorry, is this. So you get. What do you get? GH. Hang on, I'm getting confused here. GH. Yes. Okay. Then this is this guy here. And by associativity, these two are the same. It's kind of a bit complicated when you have to chase things around. But I think I did it right. I did it right. So anytime that you have a natural transformation, in order to check that it's a natural transformation, you first see how it affects the image of the same object given by the two functors. And then you compare the image of arrows given by the two functors. And you require this guy to commute. Okay. To be honest, I'm not sure if I can go through all of the lemma, so I don't know. Maybe I'll just say the equivalence of categories. So the importance of these natural transformations is that eventually you can define when two categories are equivalent. Now, categories are compared in terms of functors. So when two categories are equivalent, the functors which compare them have to have a certain property in order for those two categories to be equivalent. So before saying what an equivalence of category is, we define what when two functors are isomorphic. Well, it's actually quite. So two functors. Natural isomorphics. Well, you can define it in two ways. The easiest way is really if those guys are isomorphic, if the components of the natural transformation, each component of the natural transformation is an isomorphic. Right. So you have a natural transformation such that for all all of them. So where NC is from F of C to G of C. So when this is the case, then these two are isomorphic. Equivalent, you could say this thing obviously is invertible, right? So when that is the case, then you can say that two categories, let's pick the same ones, are equivalent, yes, if given these two functors, then the composition of these two, so, and if these two are iso.
I guess we She goes the other way around, right?
G from... Oh, yes, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, D, right. Which one goes that way? No, the F goes, right?
Yeah,
F goes that way. Yes, right. Thank you. Anyway, the sphincters and natural transformations are actually important because, as we will see later, if you consider the category whose objects are all functors between two specific categories and whose morphisms are these natural transformations, not only does this collection form a category, it actually forms a topos. And it will be the topos for a particular choice of categories between the two functors. It will be the topos that will be used to define quantum theory. So it is actually, this is quite important.
For this definition of equivalence, do you want that they're equal to the identity morphism or natural isomorphism?
Natural isomorphism, well done. Yep. I think for today is enough for definitions. But was it clear? There's natural transformations and functors. I think if you go through it on your own, maybe you can.
Diagram tracing with the Hom functors, so it's really confusing.
Yes. I got confused a couple of times.
Yeah,
but if you do it, I don't know, it's in English. With your own pace, slowly. Yeah, because it's tricky. These two are defined differently, two different things.